Well, Pat, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. We always do appreciate it. I do know for a fact the fans appreciate it too. Let's just get right into, you know, the coaching search. We know you've been on the road, Europe. We know Asher's been on the road to Mexico. Let's just get a little synopsis.
Yeah, I mean, we're making sure we're touching our, you know, covering all our bases, so to speak. I think the, you know, the biggest thing, and it goes back to the decision with Paulo, is we didn't want to be doing these trips, you know, while he's still in the seat. I don't think that's fair to him. You know, Kenny Bundy, it's, some people might say, well, it's not fair to Kenny, but Kenny also knew he's coming in as an interim tag, and during this time, and this process was going to be taking place. So he's been very understanding. He's been excellent at keeping the focus on the first team, and you know, we're pretty coy in terms of what we talk about, but he'll probably hear more in this interview than we've told him. But at the end, for us, it's important to try to make sure that people that are interested and people that we've targeted, that we go speak to them and make sure we get the right person moving forward for this club.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onset, do you revisit any people like you may have before? There was the rumor you were visiting with Jaime Lozano. He was a good candidate. Do you go back and revisit some of the guys you've spoken to in the past?
Yeah, I think that, you know, so Jaime's still under contract with Necaxa, so, and owned by some American owners that know Ted Siegel pretty well too. They run in the same circle, so that's certainly a name that did very well, went pretty far in last round. So there are some people that, yes, we would revisit, that we enjoyed our time with. I think we've come through. Obviously, you're in the seat, you learn. And there's some mistakes I've made, obviously, but at the same token, I think we have a better understanding of what this club needs. You know, I was going by interviews, talking to players, thinking this is what the club needs. And I think, as I mentioned before, I think on the last time we spoke, was I think Paulo did some good things. You know, he helped instill a good culture here at the club down at HSP. And, you know, he worked hard on that. But there were some things that we want to go in a different direction, and we think that can help improve this club moving forward.
Does a Mexican coach now, based on my prior interviews with you talking about you want somebody that's experienced, does a potential Liga MX coach or maybe even a European coach, does that become something that might be ratcheted up a little bit now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing, you know, we want is first division experience. I think that's important. And that's something that we're kind of making sure that person has it. I'm still a firm believer that MLS experience, would trump European or Mexican experience, but at the same token, that's just from the track record of foreign coaches that have come into our league. The success rate, unfortunately, is very low, and I think it's a lot of factors, because I think you bring in, especially the European coaches, you bring in, they have a lot of tactical acumen, but in the end, it can become difficult for them. The rigors of the travel, the different weathers, the weather systems that you're playing in, the roster rules, these things become very frustrating for a lot of European coaches. And the reality is too, for a lot of the players, American players and the players in our league, sometimes the tactical stuff is where we're behind, and it's tough to get them caught up to the level that these coaches that come in from Europe, and you see the frustration. And sometimes that's when you see these blowups or things that just don't work.
So when you talk to a foreign coach, you're obviously looking for a couple of areas where you notice that they are flexible when it would come to Major League Soccer. And I mean, you have to take people's word for it, right?
Yeah, I think that's one. I think we're being a little more, we have a little bit more time. That's one of the reasons. And I think we're going to go in. I know exactly what we're doing, but we're definitely interviewing in a sense of trying to find a collaborator. I think that's one thing that we're trying to measure. You know, we're measuring, you know, what's the mission of, what is this person, what's their success rate? How do they want to go? How do they get there? You know, are they adaptable? Because our league, to your point, and to my point, is it is difficult. You have to adapt to the league, and you have to adapt to the players that you have. It's not a league where you can come in and say, okay, get rid of those 17 guys. Here's 14 guys I want, and here's some 7 staff members that I have. Well, that's not how we're going to operate, and it's very difficult to operate that way in our league. So, you know, those are kind of some key components that we're looking at, as well as the tactical and technical side of things. But, you know, for us, it's important to get a leader and a guy that's excited about our project.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. How do you and Asher Mendelson, the technical director, and this one's kind of for the fans, how do you guys kind of divvy up where you're going or split your duties when you're looking for coaches and players?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it for us is we like to try to figure out exactly, you know, who we're going to go after and how we're going to do that. There was one reason why I went to, there were a couple of reasons why I went to Europe and he went to Mexico. But for us, it's more just because of who you know and who you've connected with. So some of these initial calls when we have with coaches, you know, I make, some of Asher's made. And then sometimes just depending on the connection, if you have a good connection with somebody, then usually that's dictates in terms of what flight you're getting on. So, it's enjoyable talking to these people, because right now I think where we've been is a lot clearer in terms of how we want to play in a style, excuse me. And then when we've gone in, and part of that is because of our roster. When you look at, there's certain players, I think most of the fans can look at and say, those are probably absolutes in terms of their roster, which guys will be back next year. And you put that together and say, okay, well, what system is, what style of play, how are we going to be successful with this group? And then that's when you sit down with these other coaches.
Now, if he's going to be a collaborator though, you guys are going out looking for players to fit a specific system that you have in your mind that you've got clarity to now. That's what I'm assuming. So this guy's going to have to fit into the thinking that's already existing here at the Dynamo between you and Asher Mendelson.
Yes. So, I mean, that's the two. We also need to, you know, loop in our performance department and make sure that they're on board as well, and medical group. So we still have some steps to do within the club alone, but I think for us is to test our theory with you know, experienced coaches. Do they say, yeah, that could work, or no, that can't, or here's the profile player you might want to think about. And we've had those discussions, and that helps us clarify our ideas. And I think once we get a pretty clear picture, it's much easier to say, okay, you know, Paul Caffrey, here you go. You know, go at it. He's a head of performance, or, you know, here's our medical group. Here's what we need. Here are the things that we need to be successful in this. So once we get that, I think a little more, a little clearer, then I think we're in a better place.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, has the potential of what the purpose of play is going to look like, has that crystallized for you? Do you know exactly what that is?
Yeah, I mean, I came in saying proactive, you know, whatever that means, but I think we're trying to define that a little bit more clearly. I still think I'm still a big believer in the way we play, that if we can maintain possession, I still think is an important piece in the heat, but that means you've got to be possession with a purpose. So I think too many times we've had possession this year, and it's great. It's our center backs passing between one another and back to Steve. And I just don't think we're progressing the ball. So maybe our possession percentage will go down, but what I'd like to see is us have more, you know, possession in the attacking third. And then the bigger one for me is, how do we repress? How do we win the ball? How do we build a press? How do we build pressure for that to be clear for these guys? And also to recruit those type of players that are able to do that, which means you have to be able to, you know, produce high speed running on a consistent basis and over and repeatable. So those are different profiles than some of the guys we have here and some of the guys that we've been looking at in the past.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Let's just take a look at Hector Herrera for a moment here, because he kind of went out of sight and out of mind with the injury. He's been in with Mexico. Do you see him next year still as an eight type player, or do you see him dropping deeper maybe as
I see him as an eight. I think I see him and Coco playing higher up the park like that together. That partnership still has a lot of work to be successful together. In fact, we've probably been more successful when Hector's not there, which is certainly no knock on his style of play or the level of player he is, but we need to figure that out. That's one of the pieces that we sit and discuss with coaches. So we say, listen, these are your two eights. So what formation do you think you should play? And how would you recommend playing with that? And that's kind of where we, you know, started our basis from. I mean, those are two top players for us, and we feel that they're going to be here for a while and they're going to help our team be successful. So we've got to make sure we put them in positions that they can be successful. And I think if we start moving them around the field, asking them to be sixes, at this stage, especially if either one of them were a six on their own. I think that's asking too much in terms of the ground they'd have to cover. And I also think with Hector and his technical ability, you want him higher up the pitch and closer to goal.
The three set in midfield, you seem very happy with them, Vera, Hector, Herrera, and Coco, and their possibility, Yep. Let me just say that. Are you content with that, or are you still going after more players in that area?
I think the whole squad, we're 3 points ahead of last year, which is, for me, is very disappointing. We thought we'd be, I think the squad we have and where we are, I think we should be farther ahead than we've done. And that's on me. So we need to get better. And in terms of saying that's our three in central midfield, I wouldn't say that's our 11. That's our five core guys. That's our six core guys. I think at this stage, we want to try to get better in every position possible. So we'll keep looking. Certainly we have priorities in certain positions, but in the end, if we felt we could go get a DP that was going to be significantly better than Hector and it made sense, you know, that would be a discussion we would have. I think it's pretty safe to say Hector's going to be here for a few years.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad, can you give us a ballpark in potential turnover of the roster numerically?
Yeah, I could tell you a little bit. We've got three players coming up to be free agents. We have 13 players who have options that we have an option on. Some of them had triggers, but they haven't hit their triggers this year. A lot of that's based on team performance, so it's difficult to get the automatic trigger with the season that we're having. So for us, we have the ability at this point to make some moves. Last offseason, when it came in, most of the contracts were guaranteed, very few options, and obviously I didn't have the background knowledge of these guys. Now we've had a year together. You can see some players that are going to fit in and be successful here and are going to help pull this team forward. And then there's some other ones that are going to be that are going to be difficult to keep and you know, probably better for them to try to find jobs elsewhere. So there'll be some tough decisions when the season ends. I'm a firm believer in you rip the Band-Aid off too. So we're planning on setting up meetings with players pretty quickly right after, as soon as the season ends, and we'll make decisions on those guys.
So substantial turnover you would expect, right?
I would expect. You know, there'll be some. It'll be interesting to see what happens because some players have value in the league. So while we may exercise an option, doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be playing in Dynamo colors next year. But at the end of the day, it's also about who wants to be here. You know, and it's important to get guys that here want to make a change. And some people said that to me this year, but I think this year now we can base this on actions.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it performance based? Based on the year?
I mean, that's the easiest. That's the easiest thing to look at, right?
He's Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad. Before we go back to the roster, well, I do want to ask you, is a priority still a Driussi type midfielder? And I'm just using him as.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, we just talked about double eight. So then where would you put a pure 10? That would be tricky, but I agree. I think we've also had this discussion in terms of Coco and Hector. They're not the prototypical final pass player. Do they have it in their locker? Yeah, they do. But I think if we're relying on that all the time, that's going to be tricky. So somehow, whoever we end up lining up, we're going to need some sort of playmaker that can make that final play, that final pass. But I would also, I'd push back on that. Driussi, yeah, I think anybody would take Driussi. We can get Driussi, we'll figure it out. But, you know, if you look around the league, there's only about six teams that actually have a pure 10 in our league. Actually eight teams. When I went and looked this, because I was actually listening to Eddie's broadcast, and he said, we have to have a 10. I said, well, hang on a sec. How many teams have 10? So there's eight teams that actually have a pure 10, of which five of them have made the playoffs, three haven't. So it's not a guarantee.
I wouldn't even say Driussi's he's not a 10 to me. I mean, he plays in all areas of the field.
Yeah, he plays. So I mean, well, it's like Lucas Zelarayán. Okay, he's a 10, but he likes to operate in the left side more than he does the right. But in the end, those guys for my, I would call him Lucas Zelarayán, Driussi, those guys, Acosta, you know, from Cincy, those guys are 10s. But but for a lot of teams, you know, I think like Vela's not a 10. Vela's a wide player that comes inside, but can make that. Can we find that profile? That would certainly help our team, a player like that. And then you look at Gazdag, I wouldn't say he's a pure 10, almost like a second striker, but he's been very successful. And those are, you know, the two top teams in our league. So I think there's different ways to go about it than a quote unquote 10. But if you don't have a playmaker in this league or somebody like a Gazdag or a Vela, that can make those final plays, whether it's scoring goals or getting assists or setting up opportunities, then it makes it difficult. And to be fair to, you know, Darwin Quintero, when he's been on the field for us, has had a pretty productive year. But at, you know, at the end of the day, it's at this stage, we've already run into it where he can't play 90 minutes every game in, game out. That's the stage of his career. So we need to find somebody that can.
Is that important to get that player that maybe builds that chemistry? Like you'd see that chemistry building a little bit with Sebas, and then, you know, Darwin would have to come out because he can't log the minutes anymore. Is it important to find that player for Sebas?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Sebas, when we went after him, a couple of things. I think he's had an up and down year. I would say, you know, not a fantastic year, but not a terrible year either. He's got 10 goals. You know, unfortunately, would have been nice to be banged in the penalty. It would have helped him a little bit. But I think for him, he needs service in the box. When we got him, and I think you and I talked about this before, when we first signed him, is his movement in the box is excellent, and he's a good finisher. Unfortunately for him, he gets very few opportunities in the way we're playing in the box. And when we play with a lone striker, it makes it difficult, and it's for him to find space. When you have two center backs that can zero in on you, it's difficult. So a couple of things. One is we need to get more service in the box. That's first and foremost. We don't get enough. Analytics will tell you that. Anybody that wants to, you know, jump on FB Brief or any of these Stats Bomb or any of these sites, so you can quickly see that we don't get enough service in the box. But two, if we don't have occupation in the box when we get the service, if we have one guy in the box and we're crossing it and there's two center backs and a fullback, it's tough to ask for Sebastian Ferreira to be getting on the end of those things. So we've got to get occupation in the box as well. And that's one thing we'll be pushing, you know, Hector and Coco and our two wide guys or forwards anyways, however we line up. But those two guys got to get in the box too. So we've got some work to do to get there. But I think if we can provide Sebas service, and then also if we can give him some other players in there that now they have to isolate him one-on-one, I think he's got a great opportunity to be pretty successful in our league.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Just back to the sixth position. We know Matias Vera, the Argentine's a talented player. Do you feel he's capable of holding that role down singularly?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, like I think he's played well for us this season. I think he's, you know, he's had some moments where he's been kind of down and not been at as top form, but you can see the one thing about him is, you know, he's giving everything for the club, game in, game out. He's a warrior. You know, that's the best way to put it. We talk about culture of guys and what kind of personalities they have, and he's a warrior. And though you need those guys in your locker room, right? There's different type of guys, but he's one of those guys that game in, game out, you know, he's giving everything for the team.
If we continue on here, let's just think about Kenny Bundy now and you know, the efforts he's done. He's been very impressive the way he's spoken to the media. He is a collaborator. He's in the system. Do you look at him differently now as a potential after these three games as a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, he's got two more games to go. I think he's done a really good job of being open and collaborating and being pretty clear in the ideas that he's implementing with this team. And they're fairly similar to where we'd like to go for next year. I think there's some tweaks here and there that we would probably change, but we're doing our best as well to give him that opportunity to coach the way he wants to coach with this group. And I think that's important that we give him the support that he needs. And I think he's done a great job. The guys have responded well to him. He's very detailed in his presentations and the sessions he sets up. He's very clear in the message and how he wants the group to play. And he's still learning the guys. So the guys are still learning him, which is always interesting. There's always a honeymoon period with coaches, and you never know how long that's going to last, but so far so good. Hopefully it lasts to the end of the season for him.
Yeah. Is this five games a little bit flawed if we're really being honest? Because look, you're out of the playoffs. You got players that are trying to impress at the end of contracts. You got a coach that's got five games. In a way, it's, you know, you're not fighting to get into the playoffs. So is it a little bit flawed? And how do you use this information now? Because I sit here and I think of your job and I go, wow, this is difficult, because all of a sudden you got a guy who's played three games that's fresh in your brain. But then when you look at the overall body of work, that's not so good. So it's kind of flawed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little flawed, but I also think, you know, we had a really good open discussion with Kenny after we let Paulo go, to ask him first and foremost if there's something he was interested in. I think fortunately for us, he was, because then I think it becomes a little tricky. But The other piece for him is he's embracing it in terms of trying to learn. So, but going back to your question, is it false? Yes and no. I think the nice thing is you can see how he would want to operate as a head coach in our league. And I think given the resources, you know, that's one thing. It's interesting having conversations with him because he says it's different. It's a different piece because on the second team, it's him and Daniel Roberts and Jason Grubb. And then basically the three of them are doing everything. Well, here we've got a video analyst. We've got high performance people. To be fair, in the second team too, Richard Moore works in the second team of performance, but he's got with all these resources. And he says, you know, you'd think it would be less time, but now it's about sorting out the information. And actually you end up doing more time and trying to make sure that now you're executing. He goes, but what the difference is you got more time to make sure that you're hammering down the detail that sometimes you don't have when you have a smaller staff. So he's still learning on that stuff. And I think that's, to go back, I'm not answering your question, but in terms of a false, I don't know. I think we get a
and
good
I meant that with players too.
Yeah, no. Players, the thing is that there were also 29 games prior to these five. So
I know Pat Onstad's been on teams just like me where all of a sudden somebody's playing like out of their mind for three games at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you have to weigh that with the season. Cause in the end, also, if you look at a lot of the goal scorers in our league, you go, oh, I finished with 14 goals. And then you'll look at the beginning going, well, he scored 8 goals in his first 6 games. And then he only scored 6, you know, for the last 28. That's not great. But you'll be thinking, oh, 14 is great. And vice versa. You know, he scores 8 goals at the end of the year. You think, well, maybe that'll carry over next year. But so you have to be careful you don't get caught in these 5 games. But at the end of the day, I think we have a pretty good feel for our players. I think what you want to see, though, is that guys still care and they're still willing to put it out when they know the playoffs aren't there for them. That's what I think you find out is more about character than you do about technical or tactical ability. I think at this stage, I could have told you that 15, 20 games ago where these guys were at. But in terms of the character and who really wants to be here and who really wants to fight for this team and make this team better, I think now you get a really clear picture. And these next 2 games, so as you get to the end of the season, and these next 2 games are you're playing teams that are fighting for playoff position. You get a really good picture of which guys are willing to step up for this club.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. I was listening to you talk about Kenny and all the information he's getting with the first team. Do you ever get concerned it's information overload for coaches and players? Because I know how important data is now, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it is. It can be. And that's what the good coaches are able to sift through that and or will be specific. Like you have these departments that are there to help you. And then you specifically say, listen, it's important for me and I'll use just a plain simple example. I know if we get into zone 14, which is like the top of the 18, for those people who don't know, if you get into zone 14, if I get in there 7 times a half, I have a, you know, 85% chance of winning a game. So if I know that's my goal and that's what I'm doing and that's what I've trained all week is how to break and get in there and try to get that final pass, then it's simple. As a coach, you're saying, hey, at halftime, I want to know how many times I got in there. At the end of the game, I want to know as soon as the game's over. I want to know, are we doing this over a consistent balance? Or if we're playing a team that clogs that up and you say, okay, listen, I want to get down to the end line. I want to get to that, you know, I can't remember the zone number, but down to the edge, you know, in the edge of the box. And you go, if I get there 5 times, I know that. Then as long as you're looking for specific cues of analytics, I think that's great. But if you just say, hey, give me some information on the last game, you can sit there and stare at sheets for weeks on end. So you've got to be careful in what you're looking for. And then if you have a good understanding of your game model, you know, if I'm a team, I like to build, for example, I'm a Barcelona, I like to build from the back and I want to be able to, if my passes can break 3 people, my second pass is going to break 3 players and attack. Then I know I've got enough verticality in my game. I'm going to be successful. If I do that 17 times a half, boom, I'm in a great position. I know we should win most games. So you have to train it and then you have to be able to measure it, see if you've been successful and what you're trying to train for.
Pat Onstad, the Dynamo General Manager, joining us here. We really appreciate him coming on the show. A lot of good information here for you, the Dynamo fans. When do you want to have a coach in place?
Sooner the better, but at the end of the day, we want to make the right choice. We'd like to be able to have a coach in place in terms of when we start making roster decisions, but at the end of the day, that's probably not going to happen. We're probably going to keep moving forward, but I think with a lot of these coaches that we've talked to, and I'm sure the ones that will be the leading candidates, we've shared roster decisions and ideas and where we're at and what we think we're going to do. And they've shared their opinion on our roster as well. So we'll know, you know, we'll have that in the back of our mind, but at the end of the day, we're going to keep moving forward and we have an idea of how we want to play. And that'll be based on a lot of the decisions that we make on players.
Where is Ted Siegel in ownership right now? Like, how much pressure do you feel as a general manager? This is a big job. I mean,
it's, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, I talk pretty I talk like this with my owner. So, Ted is very open and I think he appreciates that. I have a weekly meeting with him where I kind of give him a document that gives us information, what's happened during the week, little updates. And then we go through, hit on the points that he wants to hear. And obviously a coaching search is a big one. We spoke this morning actually. And, I think the big one for him is he wants to support us, but I've told him this and I don't know if he agrees with it. He kind of smiles and shakes his head. You're doing fine. But you know, obviously we want to be better. And he's puts pressure on, but I think I put enough pressure on myself and hold myself accountable. So, but for me, this job is about time and it's about trying to give your head coach as much time as possible. And didn't give Paulo a ton of time. And I think, you know, his clock ended probably shorter than we would have liked, but in the end, that means my clock starts going now. So I know for me, I've got another couple years here, but at the end of the day, if I don't get it done and get pointed in the right direction, then they should move on. They should find someone else that can. I'm trying hard, and I think everyone in this building wants this team to be successful. So your listeners will know that this means a lot to me. This club does, the city does, and I want this club to be successful. So I'm gonna work pretty hard to make sure that we try to get there.
GM Pat Onstad joining us. You know, to your point, is it difficult? Let's say Kenny Bundy wins out here. Is it difficult for you to maybe at this point hitch your wagon to another first-year coach after, you know, Todd Ramos and after Paulo Nagamura?
Yeah, everything you take everything in consideration. My hearing's not great anymore, but it's still there. I can still pick things up. I can read at least a Canadian university level. So I do okay. But I understand there's pressure and that's certainly something that weighs into it. You know, like, am I willing to, I think that gets the fast clock. If you go and hire someone like with those backgrounds, a first time division coach. So, is that something you take into consideration? Absolutely. And is that a strike, unfortunately, for Kenny? Yeah, probably. Is it unfair? Yeah, maybe. But the reality is, I think I want to make sure that we bring in someone who's experienced, been there, done that before, for us, believes in what we're doing, is on board, and hopefully, you know, was going to make us successful.
You know, you said something interesting to me and, you know, about Dynamo 2, once you acquire that team, you have all these other people that are learning the job, tertiary positions, right?
Yep.
Well, one of them is maybe grooming your own coach.
Yep.
Is Kenny someone potentially you keep up there as an assistant, or is he better served going back, working on being a head coach at Dynamo 2?
Yeah, I think it depends on who you bring in. Obviously, when you talk to some coaches, you know, they say, "Oh, I bring in seven people and I bring in six." We're not doing that here. I can be crystal clear on that. I don't believe in that system. I don't believe that works. If you have a style that you want to play in as a club, then you shouldn't need to bring in seven people because they're going to implement their own way of playing. So you need to bring in one. Maybe you give somebody a second because I think it is important that they have someone in the room that they know and trust and can also fulfill some of the roles that they know they're weak at. So that's part of the process in this one too, is we feel like we need to interview the assistant coach too before we make a final decision. So that'll be part of our process with this hire.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, we're going to finish up here in a minute, but this has been a fantastic interview. Thank you for all this information, Pat, and your openness here. Do you think you're overinvested in the center back position in some ways? There's a lot of money spent at the back for this club. Do you think you're overinvested there?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it depends how you set up your team, right? That's Teenage and Tim are on big contracts, and they're big personalities and as center back. So it depends on where you're going to push your money. And I, you know, there could be arguments to be made for both, I think. But our defensive record, I would say this year has been okay. It's not been great. And I don't want to single out players because I don't think it's players. I think a defensive record is a team record, just like as is attacking. You know, I will single out one. I think Steve Clark's had an excellent year for us this season. You know, he's won us some points in some important moments. So I think he's been a guy that we've been pretty, really happy with. We think that's been a good move for us. So I think it just depends on the way we're looking at it. And I don't want to share too much on that one. That's one I might keep a little bit closer to my chest. But for us, you know, are we investing the money in the right places, and are we getting the, you know, value for our dollar? That would be the biggest question I'd have.
And you had a lot of injuries and a lot of rotation at the center back. You Correct. Really had a hard Correct. Time getting consistent there this year, didn't
Correct.
You?
Correct. 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 That was probably the, I think for us in the center back position, you know, we played a lot of guys in that position. And even at times we were getting down and looking at Zarek, who jumped in, I think, for an Open Cup game and actually played pretty well there too. In another Open Cup game with Mikel bringing up from the second team, but we got pretty thin there pretty quick.
Oh, last one, and then we'll let you go. And we really thank you, Pat. You got to find a designated player spot, right? If you want to get this guy who's going to hit the defense.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Not a problem, but it's the reality is we have Hector Herrera as a DP. Sebastian Ferrer is our DP. And Coco Caracia, who we exercise his option, will now be a DP next year because of the bye. The following season, he won't be. So our three DP spots are used up. We don't have an option to do that. We have two more youth player slots, so you could go after young, but finding a young 10 is tricky. We will have some TAM flexibility. We'll have some room now in our roster with you know, depending on how we exercise these options and what we do in our moves, but we will have some flexibility. This season was very difficult. It was really tight this summer. I believe we talked about this on air, but for us to bring guys in, we had to move guys out and guys that had significant salaries. The issue is, you got to find clubs that are willing to take on significant salaries. And there's not a lot of clubs that are in that market in the summer. So it's always a little bit trickier in the summer to move guys out. Now it's kind of open market. You know, I had a call from a GM this morning who said, listen, the season hasn't gone well. Let me know who you're interested in and we're going to talk a deal. So that this is, which is normal. These conversations start, maybe not like this week, but pretty soon. And that's when we'll know exactly kind of what we have available and don't.
But there are mechanisms to acquire another DP.
No, there are not next year.
So yours are exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, are you pretty content where you are?
Yeah. For our DPs, we're set on our DPs for next season. Yeah.
Got it. Pat, this has been very open. Thankful for you coming on the program. As always, we really appreciate it. Great stuff.
No problem, Glenn.
Thanks for having me. He's the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad, man. There's a lot in that interview for you. We'll take a break. More to come.